now for something completely different.
Welcome to Shout Out. Out of the closet and into your ears.
Hello and a very warm welcome to Shout Out. I'm Andy Shilton.
And I am Ezra Peregrine. On today's show, we're joined in the studio by Jason and Andy, here to talk about the reversal of LGBTQIA+ rights in Indonesia.
And coming up, we hear from Dolly Parton, or at least the impressionist Sarah Jane.
All today.
Right here on Shout Out.
I like Terry's lackluster.
I can't hear anything coming from Terry.
Oh, Terry, Terry's star.
Silence.
Yeah. Silencio.
That's not here. I think you must have a dodgy cable or something, mate.
Is that better?
Oh, yes, there we go.
Yeah. Oh. I just had to put it in the hole. That's
Thank you, Terry.
There's only one in the studio, apparently.
Live on air. Anybody would think this was a little bit of a radio show.
I know, it gets worse every week, isn't it? I'm blaming it on the bar now. She used to keep us all in order, and she's just slacking these
on
days.
Yeah.
Slacking. We used to get told off by our producer afterwards, you can't do that on air.
Oh, no more. No. I think we've got to a point now in 2026 where we're here 16. And we might have a beer after the show.
But we're 16, it'll be 17 this year, won't it?
No, 16 years on the air. We've been since June.
Wow.
Next year is 20 years of our home station, BCFM.
And 17 of us.
One of the first legal community radio stations in Britain. Opened March 2007 and we started June 2010.
Yes. Besides, Radio Caroline got a big slap, didn't they?
For announcing that the king had died. Yes, they did.
And not correcting it for hours.
Well, I think we've never done that, have we?
I mean,
no. I think we sell close to the wind once or twice, but we've never actually.
I've sworn in 16 years. I have sworn once by accident, there's not bad going.
Oh yes. These things happen. I mean, BBC Radio 4 once announced the Chancellor of the Exchequer Jeremy Hunt as something else several times during the programme. He had the good grace to laugh it off.
That's like when I said Japped in Cack Sparrow. Twice. So we had Japped in Cack information. I can't remember what it was about now.
If you go back through some of the news, you do give yourself some tongue twisters on some of them.
You end up
with some really difficult names and you just say it like it's just normal.
Yeah, well, do what they do on the BBC. If you say it with enough gravitas, people will believe you know what you're doing.
I believe that. You can convince
Is that
people.
True, Steph?
No.
Steph gets me to do the news now on her Friday show, don't you?
I do. Well, you've got a news reading voice. You've got the posh voice.
Mm-hmm. Are you saying you
very
don't?
Good.
It counterpoints my rough Bristolian.
Very good broadcasting combination there, Steffi's Friday night show.
Yeah.
Love it with the local news.
It is true, you know. I mean, we've always said anyone can do radio, and the more you do it, the more experience you get, the easier things become. It's like the number of people who join. If you go back and listen to the first ever time like they do the news, even Terry, who sounded very professional the first time, compared to today, it was very amateur back then.
Read it like I was Speedy Gonzalez, who just couldn't wait to get to the end.
I remember in the early day, you used to go really fast, didn't you? and if you went wrong, you'd laugh. Do you remember?
Yeah, really loudly.
There were lots you used to like cackle all the way through. Like, this is a really serious story. Someone's died. You can't laugh.
Not a regular laugh, though. Miranda laugh.
Yeah,
a chortle.
All fun. So anyway, really sad news. We've had a couple that we've lost this week, haven't we?
Tim Curry,
famous for the Rocky Horror Show, and of course, lovely Dolly Parton.
And today, the voice of the Transformers. His name escapes me.
Literally saw that as I was flying into the studio. So yes, he's passed away too. It's like, oh no.
It's less than 36 hours, I think.
I mean, Dolly worked up to the day she died, apparently, and has always been a massive LGBT plus fan. Sadly, we never had the chance to talk to her. I'd love to have interviewed her.
Wouldn't that be amazing?
It would have been amazing. But yes. we did get very close because the official tribute act that was endorsed by her, Sarah Jane, was actually at Bristol Pride yes. in 2023. And you can tell that we were looking forward to this because right at the beginning of this, you can just how excited Steph is.
So, am I in this interview?
Yeah, I think you are, yes. Wonderful. I think it was you and Steph that did this.
Do you
this.
Remember when we were sat and getting excited about the... Because she just walked up on stage to do her set. But moments after, and Terry probably can remember this, we saw Kenny Rogers going up the ramp.
Yes.
And it was like there was dead air almost because it was... What?
He's risen. He's risen and walked from.
Well, I mean, Sarah Jane's carrying on. She's performing in Brighton this weekend, and she's already said on BBC News, you know, it's going to be quite a different show because it's going to be so emotional for her.
Yeah,
you know. But she's vowed she's going to carry on. This was recorded in 2023, so it was obviously while Dolly was still alive, and it is quite loud because obviously it was we're right by the side of the stage broadcasting. So, but have a listen to this. It's lovely. It's fun.
Right, finally, we've been joined by Dolly Parton. You didn't bring Kenny Rogers with you. I'm so disappointed.
Oh, you should have told me. I would have gone and got him from out of his truck.
We saw Kenny coming out of the VIP tent and going up the ramp, and there was dead silence on radio. Because we looked and we thought it was Kenny Rogers.
Oh, come back.
It's not good to have tumbleweed moments on the radio, but no. There was.
Steffi, oh. You're making our guest feel really inadequate right now.
Oh, no. Do you know he is a legend, you know?
Absolutely.
Just wonderful man. And go on.
I was listening to you on the way, so I was driving, listening to your set on the radio. And then as we came towards the front of the stage to get here, I looked and I went, oh, my God. Kenny Rogers. And I had to look three times. I said to Rodsey, that's Kenny Rogers there. But you're amazing, by the way. Oh. Forget Kenny. Yeah.
No, let's not forget Kenny. I love him very much. And actually, I brought him along as a very special guest for Bristol Pride because I wanted to make something special for everybody. And he's actually an impersonator from the Country Superstars Tour, which is a show that we do in the theater.
Oh.
And so I work with him every week, but also I go to bed with him, too. Because he's actually my husband as well.
Oh, okay. No, you shouldn't have said that. It was good the way you left it. It was really good.
I was wondering where you were going with that.
I don't want to upset anybody, but no, I had to tell you the last bit, too, because that's important. But, you know, that's a wonderful thing for us because it's actually Dolly Parton that spoke to us on the BBC and said that she thanked Kenny and I for doing Dolly and Kenny so well for so long. And that was kind of that endorsement we always dreamt of.
Yeah.
And being husband and wife, too, that's absolutely special. Anyhow, I'm talking too much.
No, that's why you're here. So, listen, how is Bristol for you? Because, look, the heavens opened for a little while, and I was looking out at that crowd. Nothing dampens Bristol's spirit, you know.
Absolutely not. And, you know, when they did get their umbrellas out for a few seconds, it only lasted about 3 minutes.
Yeah.
And then it stopped. But that's what Dolly does. Dolly brings the sunshine and rainbows, as she says in her song. And also, Bristol for me is the first time that I've ever actually done an open-air festival here at Pride. And I am absolutely honored to have been invited, not once, but about six times by Darren, who has been contacting me for years. And so this year we made it happen.
Yeah, I've done such a long wait, but wow, what an act. It's certainly a lot of audience participation.
Yeah. I was walking through the crowd when I literally just got here. I was walking through the crowd. Everybody was loving it, singing along. So was it good for you?
Oh, it was wonderful. I went out on my first song and there was a lot of people there. And I don't know how many, say, I don't know, 10,000 people. But then you kind of saw this movement like a big bunch of ants all just coming towards me. And everybody got closer together and it was just wonderful. And I could see the happiness and the joy and the excitement and really just everybody just being happy. And that's what it's all about.
Absolutely. You know, Rodsey, who's here, he thinks he looks a bit like Kenny Rogers. And Rodsey, tell the truth. Is it not one of your, like, bucket list to sing Islands in the Stream with Dolly Parton? You know, I mean, you... bro. You don't want to hear me singing. You know, I could just about speak English properly. Now, do you know what I mean? Like, my voice is terrible.
But you do have a very nice low growth kind of voice.
See, you do. Well, it's radio, but Roger's going red.
Can you teach him a few phrases? You know, if he was going to be like a cowboy, what kind of stuff would he need to say? And yeah, maybe you could try it out, Rod.
What do you want him to do? Bless him. He's getting nervous now.
I am nervous. This is the joke. I'm getting nervous now. I might say something. Just a couple of cowboy phrases. You know,
cowboys. Well, you know where I'm from in Tennessee. We live in the Smoky Mountains. We ain't no cowboys. Okay. That's Texas. So okay. I gotta get that one straight everybody listening. Don't you be sorry. You be you.
Thank you.
That's all right. We all make mistakes.
Pat makes more than anyone else.
Oh, but you know, what's good is that we're all smiling, we're all happy and having a good time. But you know, when I was growing up in the Smoky Mountains of East Tennessee, you know, I was born and raised on a farm, so my daddy was a farmer, and a lot of my family were hillbillies. And so, do you know the hillbilly rock? Hillbilly roll? I can imagine you singing that.
Come on, Rod.
I didn't even know the word.
Do you want me to slow down a little when I'm talking?
Well, you go first, and then I'll try and copy. Well,
do you want to sing a song together?
Yeah, that'd be great.
I don't like where this is going, Joe.
You don't.
Come on, thank you.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll
say.
You.
So what we're gonna do? We're gonna do something nice and easy. Okay. All right, nice and easy does it. We're gonna do islands in the stream, and you're gonna sing. That is what we are. Ready?
Yes.
2, 3. Islands in the stream.
That is what we are.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Rodsy.
I cannot compete with your voice. Just there on the radar and listening to you earlier coming in. You were brilliant, man. That's excellent.
Yeah.
Oh, well, thank you so much. It really does mean a lot. I've been performing as Dolly Parton for 29 years. And I was talking to somebody when I came off stage, the presenter who took me off.
Yeah.
He said, I think I may have worked with you before. I said, well, hey, there's a lot of Dolly Parton tributes out there now. And that's the truth. There's so many of them. And they're all wonderful. And they're all great. And they're all working, which is good. But I've been doing it for 29 years. I'm very proud of that. I'm very proud that I've worked for Dolly on many occasions. And I'm also an affiliate for her children's charity, the Imagination Library. And so we raise money for children in young age of literacy, and I'm very proud of that too.
Wow.
But Dolly recognizing us and actually thanking us, that was all I could ever have dreamt of.
On national TV as well. That's an amazing thing.
Absolutely.
For it to do that. Just tell us something about age, because you'd think, well, listen to Rodsy sing, you'd think it was kind of 60 plus year olds that love that type of music, but it's universal, isn't it? From young ones to the elders, they're absolutely fascinated with the music of Dolly Parton. Why?
Well, that's a real good point.
Yeah.
You see, Dolly writes songs from the heart, and everybody can relate to the songs that she's sung and written over the years. From when she was a little girl singing about puppy love, she sang this song when she was about 8 years old, and it went, puppy love, puppy love, they all call it puppy love. I'm old enough now to kiss and hug, but I like it. It's puppy love. Yeah. Something sweet like that. It started when she was young, and she evolved and grew, and all of her life experiences. So I think that is what brings all ages, all people, all demographic, no matter if you're, you know, you're gay or straight, you know, if you're old or young, families, everybody just relates to Dolly and loves her honesty because she is so honest, and she is so true to herself, the way she dresses. Her hair, the makeup, you know, she just is what she is. And that's why I'm here today, because I believe that everybody should be who they want to be.
No, absolutely. And it's funny you say that. In the Caribbean, I was always fascinated why Lovers Rock was so country-like. And so many of my elders from all the different Caribbean islands would turn around and say, because the Caribbean elders love country music. They're absolutely adored. So people like Kenny Rogers, Dolly Parton, would be playing those records. And then their children were the ones that made cover versions in reggae or Lovers Rock. But it was the original country that the Caribbean fell in love with.
Well, that's just wonderful to hear too, you know. And Dolly's done a lot of versions of different songs. Yeah. You know, Jolene's been sung in over 35 different styles of music in different ways. So, you know, even a rock version, you know, you can imagine. But it's, all the music talks to people. Music from the heart. People do appreciate the true words, you know. And songs don't get written written such as that these days as much. And so Dolly actually bought our new album recently too. Did you know about that?
No, yeah. Tell us about that. Give it a plug.
Well, of course, it's World on Fire is her new song. It's a rock album. And so she's singing with people like Elton John, and she's singing with, Brian May's on there, and all different people she's singing all these different rock tunes with. Forgive me, I'm 77 years old. I don't remember what I had for breakfast, let alone 30 songs that are on this album, because that's how many songs are on this new album.
So how long does it take you? So a new album comes out and you're thinking, oh, blooming heck, I'm going to have to learn this now. So how long does it take for you to kind of learn that, rehearse it and perfect it as well?
Well, I got to let you into the secret. I just learned the new World on Fire, which is Liar, Liar, the World's on Fire. What you going to do when it all burns down? Okay. And it's kind of giving a strong message. I've already learned that one, but I think that for me, I pick out a couple that I think are going to be big hits and that people know. So you folks here, you know, Let It Be. So Dolly does a Let It Be in her own style, and some other songs too. So that's what I kind of do, pick out the ones everybody kind of really likes to hear, and something that's catchy, like this one here.
Yeah, indeed. Dolly Parton, thank you so much for dropping by the Shoutout Studios.
Oh, it's been my pleasure. I'm sorry I talk too much. I get that from my mama.
Hey, listen, you got some notes off Mikey Rods. That's amazing.
Yeah, do you know, I wouldn't do that for anybody else.
Mikey the Hillbilly.
Thank you, Dolly Parton.
Thank you, Jamie. Thank you.
Shout Out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast.
This is Shout Out News. Welcome along.
The passing of Dolly Parton at the age of 80 was widely reported. BBC One's Points West programme emphasised her links with the West of England, culminating in her stunning performance at the Glastonbury Festival in 2014. Channel 4 News, meanwhile, looked at her role in the highly pro-worker, anti-capitalist movie 9 to 5, in which she starred with Jane Fonda and Lily Tomlin in a comedic lampooning of company bosses and corporate greed. The Channel 4 narration said that Dolly rarely made political statements, but this is to misunderstand Dolly's outspoken support for the LGBTQIA+ community and humanitarian principles. Like another gay icon, the late George Michael, Dolly gave a lot of money to charities and campaigns. She was particularly interested in education and reading, literacy and young people. When the violent racist groups KKK tried to block gay people from entering her Dollywood theme park, she remarked, "Am I going to say they're not welcome here? Of course not." In 1991, when gay men and other groups in society were living with and dying from AIDS-related illnesses, Dolly released one of the earliest country songs to mention the word gay. And when trans musician Our Lady J needed surgery her insurance would not cover, Dolly organised a benefit concert. Sometimes Dolly's love for our community was just fun and joyful. She once secretly entered a Dolly Parton lookalike contest at a gay bar full of drag queens. She lost because no one recognised her. Meanwhile, in 2023, when Tennessee passed laws targeting trans people and drag performers, she referred to the LGBTQIA people in her family and life. "I know and I love them all," she said. "I do not judge." She concluded, "They cannot help who they were any more than I can help being Dolly Parton." Thanks, Dolly. You will always be remembered as one of the good people.
The city of Bath is far older than our home turf of Bristol. In fact, it predates the Roman occupation of Britain and was a religious shrine for ancient British people. The Romans developed it as a Aquae Sully, and it also experienced growth during the 18th century as a healing town with its hot springs and romantic pastoral location in the hills of Somerset. Bath Pride took place on Saturday 22nd of August, bringing joy and colour to the already beautiful city streets. It was the third Pride event in Bath and was followed by a party in Sydney Gardens, a landscape space in the city centre area. Organisers explained, set against one of Bath's beautiful green spaces, the day will bring together a mix of local stallholders, creatives, community groups and performers. Expect a laid-back atmosphere with a space to sit, picnic and spend time with others at your own pace. Bath Pride continues to grow as an alternative to larger, busier Pride events, offering something quieter, more grounded and rooted in connection and community. After the main festival, the after-party carried on till 3am with late-night vibes at Comedia. Local media were broadly supportive of Bath Pride, with ITV West, Country News and BBC Radio Somerset both transmitting positive and supportive coverage of the event. Radio Bath also expressed support, but the real coup d'etat went to community broadcasting station Bath Sound, who transmitted live from the main stage of the event throughout the day. Well done to Ollie and his team for bringing the joy of Bath Pride to people unable to visit the event in person. Sponsors of Bath Pride included Bath Rugby, Ethical Closing Line Lucy and Yak, and Queer Art Emporium Peculiar Pluto. Thanks to all for their support.
However, just as with the Bristol Post newspaper earlier this year, so Somerset Live had this week hit back at anti-gay internet trolls who besieged their comments threads with homophobic posts after a report appeared on Bath Pride. Shout Out is a safe space for LGBTQIA people, as is community radio more generally, so we will not be republishing any of the particular remarks. Suffice to say that many were violent, insane and unhinged and spoke to the deep personal anger of a few privileged people. Phoebe Hobbs, who covered Bath Pride for the Somerset Live website, said most of these Facebook accounts included their posters' full names, photographs and where they worked even. They chose to come out with their hatred, as it were. We are not going to name them today, although we could do. People can and do change for the better, but their ugliest moments recorded in the press could follow them around for the rest of their lives. We see it time and again with people begging us to take down court reports and crime stories. Reading these comments, wishing terror attacks and fatal illnesses on people they had not met and had not done them any harm, one thought kept resurfacing in my mind. Happy people don't do this. Phoebe concluded that the commentators' hatred underlined their own self-loathing. She noted that the joy that Bath Pride brought to participants and the city was far healthier than trolling. LGBTQIA activists welcome the stance taken by Somerset Live, but some urged the naming and publicising of the trolls' identities where given, so that employers could see what disrepute these people brought with them and take action appropriately.
Rainbow Rebellion, being the LGBTQIA plus contingent within the wider Extinction Rebellion movement, has invited LGBTQIA plus activists to join with ER's Day of Love and Rage in September to force further government action to tackle climate change after a summer of chaotic climate across Europe. Taking on populist right-wing narratives, ER wants the government to reveal the full contents of a report written by the security services, which predicts food shortages and social breakdowns as soon as 2030. Unless climate stability can be achieved. Here's what the group said in their press release. Of course we're angry. Together, year on year, we have been witnessing the most immense betrayal of life imaginable. The roaring of wildfires across Europe says it all. We know what's happening, that at massive cost, the climate and nature emergency is being willfully underplayed and ignored by those in power. That's why we're coming together in our love and rage to build our community and to take action on the streets. Love is what brings us together. Rage is what moves us. Saturday 12th and Sunday 13th of September, talks, workshops, music, a community assembly and more in an accessible venue in East London. Monday 14th of September, love and rage action in central London. Letting us know you are coming really helps us plan ahead with things like food and venue capacity, they said.
QX, the London scene magazine, reports that with Notting Hill Carnival approaching, so black, gay, bi and trans men are working towards a weekend of celebrations and social events that will centre the African Caribbean gay experience and also bring to clubbers a showcase of the festival sounds that play out on London's many FM black music pirate radio stations. The organisers have released a press release saying they are called Black Meat Market in a bold, provocative flourish. They say BMM is a five-day experience built for black, gay, bi and DL men, grounded in black culture and rooted in the Caribbean energy that defines carnival. We've built this from the ground up and grown it into one of the core spaces for black queer men during carnival weekend. Each event will have their own identity whilst contributing to one connected weekend experience. These places are designed for connection, expression and release without compromise. Whether you're coming to socialise, dance or simply be around people who understand the space, every experience is created with intention. This weekend is built for those of you who know exactly what they want. If you've been before, you know what's waiting. If you haven't, this is the weekend everyone will be talking about once the carnival is over. Look out for further details of the extensive series of parties and meetups for black, gay, bi, DL and trans guys of all shapes, sizes and backgrounds. The website is blackmeatmarket.co.uk/carnivalweekend.
And finally, one of the Shoutout family of community radio stations is the excellent Trans Radio UK. Since 2018, they have broadcast a wide variety of music by and for the trans and wider LGBT plus communities. From reggae to punk, goth to Disney, country to oldies, there's something for most people on its airwaves. Shoutout goes out on Fridays at noon on the network. Now, on Thursday, 3rd September, the station will have an exclusive preview programme to showcase the new album by queer favourite and trans ally singer Hazel Dean, who was featured only the other week on BBC 4's Friday night reruns of Top of the Pops. Before Madonna, Hazel was certainly the queen of queer high NRG pop. Trans Radio UK says, join Trans Radio UK on 3rd of September for a special listening party celebrating Hazel Dean's brand new studio album. Let's go around again, hear exciting new recordings, reimagined favourites and timeless Hazel Dean classics ahead of the album's official release on 4th of September. Tune in and celebrate the return of a true British pop icon. Listen at transradio.com. We look forward to Hazel's new album and salute her for her years of performances at Pride events, her unswerving loyalty to LGBTQI+ people and her buddying work during the AIDS crisis of the 1980s. Hazel, we hope your new album smashes it.
That was Shout Out News. Check out our website for more content and a starting point for exploring the queer web. Visit shoutoutradio.lgbt. For Shout Out News, we have been Terry Starr
and Ezra Peregrine.
Shout Out News.
National and international LGBT news for you.
For more information about Shout Out Radio, visit us online at shoutoutradio.lgbt.
Shout Out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast.
Oh, I'm sorry, I had to let that kind of finish. It was...
Was that a Radio 4 moment?
It wasn't. Yeah.
I don't get it. Oh, it just got... I absolutely love that song, and I love Tim Curry.
We were singing along there, weren't we?
Yes. Yeah. Terry did a very good
anticipation. Yeah, but I mean, if you know the film, you know that. You do that to a youngster these days. They're like, what?
Yeah,
I know. It's a bit like when they come up to you and they go, oh, that's sick. I'm like... It's not ill. What are you on about?
but it's still touring. It's still doing incredibly well. It has still got a young audience and a very queer audience, which I think is wonderful. But
yes. They have these days stopped you from doing all of the stuff in
the courses
in the cinemas that you used to do.
The cinema.
Yeah, you used to throw toilet rolls at the screen.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
You told your lighters that it was so dangerous. You know,
yeah.
One minute you hold
you
your lighter,
to be able to
but
smoke
next minute
in
there's
the
a toilet roll coming over the top of you.
I wouldn't mind that, to be honest.
Yeah.
But we have two lovely returning guests.
Hello, welcome back.
This evening, Andy and Jason. Welcome
How are you
back.
Both?
Hello.
Hello.
It's lovely to have you back.
Yeah. So lovely to be back.
I'm trying to think, when was it we had you on? How long ago was
it?
Do you remember?
Gosh, was it two, 3 years ago?
No, it was actually 3 years ago.
Yeah, because, 3 years ago.
Because I was reminded on my iPhone, like...
Oh. Then,
it's around the same time.
It was about the same time. Yeah.
Wow, spooky.
That is. That's quite incredible.
You're supposed to say you planned that, Steph. That was totally on purpose,
obviously,
really, wasn't it?
Obviously,
it
was trying to deflect.
She was being humble. the reason we have you on, one is because we love your company, obviously, but the other is because there's a lot going on at the moment.
It's kind of a continuation from last time, isn't it, sort of?
It is.
Yeah.
You came and talked to us about how things were back home last time, and we were kind of hoping you'd be coming back to tell us that they got better.
No, we were impressed.
No.
Yeah.
The country we're talking about is Indonesia.
Yeah.
And Andy and Jason come from that country. And like most countries around the planet, things seem to be getting really bad for the LGBTQ community. Mm-hmm. And we were saying that it's quite recent as well, isn't it? For most countries, that maybe 20 years ago, everything was absolutely fine.
Yes.
But we're taking a, over the last, what, 5 years?
Yes.
Do you reckon? Maybe a bit longer? We've been taking a hit. And it's like one country after another, isn't it? Because the same is happening across the states, Central African countries. Yeah. And now Indonesia.
Yeah. Even like 3 years ago when we first came here, I remember we said that it was still all right, Indonesia. I mean, like in the media, etc., it's getting like we're being pushed out. But in general, we're still safe. But it's just like this year, they just really, really like, what do you call it?
Well, they really... It's an all-out attack.
It snowballed at quite a rapid rate. It's how, from the outside looking in, is how it feels.
The problem is, I think quite recently, the politicization against our community has been very blatantly out there in the media, and also endorsed, I would say, by the government. Yeah. By the elected president, actually.
I mean, do you think it's also fueled by it going on everywhere else in the world? Because we're watching America go backwards, it's going backwards here. Yeah. Do you think that's not helped?
I think so, but
I don't think it's helpful as well. Because, for example, Indonesia, surprisingly, we have a very good relationship with Russia.
Surprise, surprise.
Surprise, surprise.
No, we're trying, I mean, as a country, we're trying to be friends with everyone. But obviously you cannot satisfy everyone. No. So there has to be a scapegoat, right? And the easiest way to deal with that is to, you know, push it into the minority. Oh, who's got like so many minorities bunched up together in the alphabet? Oh, the LGBTQ plus. Yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah, like we were saying earlier, it all kicked off in 1934, didn't it? Just before the Second World War, where the Nazis deflected onto first the trans community and then the rest of the gay community. And then we all know what happened after that.
Yeah.
So we didn't really learn from history after all.
We have not. No, because it's happening again. And the genocide that we see in Israel... against the Gaza and the West Bank is also a bit ironic as well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. One thing. Sorry, carry on.
And also, I think it's also part of the deflection tactics of the and distraction tactics by the government. I think there's so many political unrest quite recently. In fact, today we had a big protest in the capital, but also in several other cities in Indonesia. Whilst it's not related to advocating for LGBT rights, but, you know, the attack on LGBT plus community is because they are trying to deflect people, distract people from the actual problems we have.
Mm-hmm. So what currently are the laws there? What can and can't you do?
So basically what just came was the president, they release a presidential decree equating LGBT quote-unquote culture with terrorism.
We're considered a non-military threat to Indonesia defense.
And Russia used the same.
Well, he learned from the best, probably.
So I mean, like, just to give a context. So our president, he's a human rights
human rights violator.
Yeah,
war crime.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Committed war crimes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He is the son-in-law of the, you know, famous dictator of Indonesia, Suharto.
Okay.
And then he has a very good relationship with Putin and Trump.
Yep.
Yes. Interesting. But did he with Biden before Trump? I would suspect not.
No.
Yeah.
I think, I mean, there's so much wrong with this, obviously, but I think some of the things that always come to my mind is just the level of vulnerability of such a marginalised minority group.
Yes.
And how we have progressed technologically and medically. You know, we have so much access to so many educational resources.
Yep.
that I find it harder to understand where we're at right now than I did in the 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, because we have the ability to educate. Everybody has a responsibility, I think. Yeah, people, what people are actually doing is being led by the wolves to the slaughter.
Funny you should mention that.
Statistically, people, a lot of people who are homophobic are closeted gays themselves.
Yeah. Well, funny you should bring about education into the topic, because one of the movements, I'll say, instigated by this presidential decree is the education and the advocacy for parents, teachers to normalize, quote-unquote, the LGBT, to screen out the LGBT culture out of the younger population, out of their children, basically. It's got so much worse that we have recorded 94 official
reported cases
of violence against the LGBT plus member. But most importantly, I think the most targeted friends are our trans.
So there is a movement right now. It's a vigilante movement.
Yeah, vigilante.
Vigilante movement. It's called, in Indonesian, it's called Boti Hunter.
So Boti.
Boti is a slang for queer and trans, so non-gender conforming people. So what this group of people do is they...
They actively hunt
trans and queer people
who are visible on the streets.
Yeah, we're visible on the
streets.
Definitely have that in Russia. They've had groups baiting gay men on Grindr. Yes. And
we're about to go there as well.
That happened as well, but not as bad as.
So this. with these attacks on our friends and. Sisters and brothers in Indonesia, they were physically beaten, they were doused with urine, they were forced to strip naked on the side of the street. And on top of that, there is also... So it has happened in the past, so policemen on undercover going into gay dating apps in Indonesia, usually the capital, Jakarta, and they're trying to... sort of like blackmail gay men because there's no such thing as a criminal sentence against homosexuality, obviously,
in Indonesia.
It's not illegal to be gay, though.
It's not illegal to be gay. It's a grey area.
It's a grey area. It's not illegal, but it's not legal as well.
Yeah.
Well, let me guess, there's no protections to,
no protection.
To stop a policeman from beating you up for being gay.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. That's why I said blackmail, because usually they will go and try to extort money out of these gay men. And now they're trying to use the same tactics again, going on gay dating apps like Grindr, like Hornet. And then most recently we saw online there's a huge... I think they've made an official complaint to the Indonesia's Ministry of Digital and Technology. I don't really know the direct translation, but these people handle our internet, basically. And people were protesting as to why the gay dating apps or any LGBT plus related apps are still available to be downloaded in Indonesia.
Okay.
So,
and they remove all of the apps, just like a week ago.
Yep.
That's very difficult because, I mean, that is going to have a twofold impact, isn't it? It's going to isolate a lot of actual queer people, but what it's also going to do is prevent cis police officers going into those spaces that should be safe.
Yes. And don't underestimate the gay community. I mean, they will find a way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, we've seen through history that we you can't eradicate us. Any of us that are LGBT,
we're like cockroaches.
We're always
coming back.
I don't personally consider myself a cockroach.
But well, they're survivors. That's the thing. Yeah. You know, if there's an apocalypse, guess who's still there?
Yeah. I mean, do you manage to get home much at all? Do you? Do you go back and see all this, or is this all stuff you're hearing from here?
We were there, literally.
I mean, like, we're quite lucky as well. I mean, like, our family supports us, and then our friends support us, but not all gay people, not all queer people, trans people in Indonesia
are as lucky.
But we were
literally there. We were just in Indonesia in July. So when these things are escalating, we're there. But we, of course, we feel vulnerable. Of course, we're trying not to be visible. And we're just very grateful of our friends and families because they're there to protect us. But I'm also raging and also devastated whenever I see the news or whenever I go online and see how our communities is under attack.
Well, it's very sad to hear. I mean, we think things are bad here. And it just goes to show there are places in the world it's even worse still.
Yeah, something you were saying about, being labelled as terrorists, it suddenly made me think of something somebody was talking about, an American trans person. Mm. They are using that term in the States for trans people.
What?
Terrorists.
Terrorists.
Yeah.
In what way?
Well, I was trying to get...
What sort of terror did they bring?
So in 2026, the National Counterterrorism Strategy names violent left-wing extremists.
Violent.
Radically pro-transgender ideology. Extremism on migration, race and gender, not explicitly naming trans identity, but widely read as pointing that direction given the surrounding rhetoric. But then it goes on to talk about violent extremism, violent ideology.
Ideology.
And sort of things like brainwashing, transgender killers, and terrorism is in there. So it's not the same because it's not being made, I suppose, official might be the right way to say that.
Yeah.
But it is wording they're using. No, it's not.
In the 50s, we have what they call the Lavender Scare, which is where they thought that every single person who was gay was a spy, wasn't it?
Spy.
They went through, especially in America, they went through the military and kicked out all of the gays and all the lesbians because they were convinced they were being blackmailed and spying. You know, it was a terrible thing. It ruined lots and lots of lives. Yeah. And here we are doing it again.
I really, truly just wish that people could look behind the lies.
It's very difficult to say that in Indonesia because, you know, as I said,
right.
They're going full blown on this. Yeah. Really, we have a. So we have also like a religious body that governs like this religious
matters for
Islam, which is you know the majority in Indonesia. So they're pushing. They say they're in the final stages of finalizing this educational curriculum or whatever to prevent LGBT. "Quote unquote culture" from spreading onto our young children's mind, and we learned that at least ten universities, public universities, by the way, have adopted policies which are discriminatory against the LGBT plus member. They ask people who enroll into their university to sign a statement, some of which reads as, "I am not a member of the LGBT plus culture. I do not support trans rights or whatever." Yeah. You know, there's no direct translation, etc., etc. And also, they started this mild version, I would say, of conversion therapy, where they are trying to normalize the queer students.
When is that normalized? It's not like. Normalized.
You're trying to beat the gay out of I don't really know what happens.
I know what you mean though.
I mean, it's something we still haven't even fully banned here. It's still legal to do conversion therapy here, even though it's currently going through
For trans people.
There's still lots of clauses in it that make it just utterly useless.
There's a loophole.
You know, there are lots of loopholes around. You know, just you can be researching it, and therefore it's allowed
Ez was saying earlier about education. There's so much out there about biology and neurology about how we're all born the way we are. and yet that's being just totally ignored.
But this has always been the thing, isn't it?
Like, it's fiction.
I mean, you've only got to look at people like Rowling. They just make it up.
No. I've just had a quick look. There is currently no ban at all for any conversion practices in the
UK.
Really? No.
It's atrocious.
It is going through Parliament, yep. But there was an article on our news pages about it, where it actually talks about it and talks about how utterly useless it is, and you know, it's just token gesture. It's not actually going to provide the protections it's supposed to protect.
What they want to do is they want to eradicate it for anybody who's not trans. Basically.
So, interestingly, it does include trans people in the one that's coming
through. It does. It does.
But it's as useless as a chocolate teapot that you actually read.
I don't know. A chocolate teapot could be eaten and enjoyed. It's just leaving a bit of taste in my mouth.
Anyway, you guys, it's lovely to have you back on the show.
Thank
it's really,
you.
Really, really,
thank you so much
really
for
bad
so much
to hear that it's going backwards. I mean, I say the same to you. We'd say to everyone, you know, stay strong.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't... It takes a fight. It really does take a fight. Mm-hmm. And it's a fight I don't think we'll ever see stop in our lifetime.
No.
You know, if we don't keep... I mean, everyone, like, we've had this year, everyone going, oh, what do you need pride for? It's like, well, you keep proving why we need pride.
Yeah, exactly.
Pushing all the rights back, you know, and they're like, oh, you've got equality. No, we haven't.
No.
I'm still too scared to walk down the street holding my husband's hand because we still keep getting people beaten up in Bristol for it, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's not equal.
No.
If you want a straight pride, feel free to organise one. See who turns up.
A specific.
I mean, if you've got Justin Bieber there, I know one person who'll come.
Oh, right, listeners, he looked at me. He's an ally.
So, if you'd like a life-size cardboard cutout tomorrow.
I'm not sharing him. He's folded in half at the moment by the side of my bed. It's a bit weird. Ooh, not in that way. I do love him, though. But yeah, that was a very wonderful birthday present.
Yeah. But it's horrible to hear, you know, and it's not unique. It's going on everywhere. I mean, I wouldn't like to live in Russia at all and be LGBT at the moment. That's like, you know.
No, and one thing I do want to say, though, is anybody who's listening, no matter what people are telling you, you are loved and you do matter.
Yeah.
You deserve the same as everybody else.
Yes. Yeah. And I love you, really. I know we take the Mickey, but I do. Mm.
Can I just say, I've just found out...
Oh, sorry, okay, yes, I love you too.
Dolly Parton's chauffeur of many, many years, in fact, decades, was a trans man.
Yeah.
How lovely is that?
That's a lovely thing to end on.
She was lovely. She really liked our community.
Yes, she did.
So.
She really did.
Anyway, that's it for this week. If you have an event or a story, or perhaps you'd even like to get involved in the radio with us here, do get in touch. You can check us out online.
Plus, all our shows are available as podcasts on all good services, as well as our website, shoutoutradio.lgbt.
Fingers crossed I got this right. This week, the Little Gay Bookshop.
Yes, you have.
Yes?
Yes.
Woo-hoo.
Yes.
So bye-bye, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.